Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, buddy. Welcome back to another episode, Instant Reaction of the 23 Personnel Podcast. This evening, your Texas Tech Red Raiders defeated the UTEP Miners 38-3. We are live on location at one of the wonderful Whataburger locations here in Lubbock.
Yeah.
We're also seated directly under one of their speakers, so there's going to be a lot of background music.
Yeah.
You'll just have to enjoy it with us.
It'll be an interesting ride. And because the game ended so late, we're able to enjoy breakfast.
That's true.
The breakfast menu is open.
We did order from the breakfast menu here at Whataburger.
When really, I should say relatively, the game ended late, because a 3.5 hour game time for a Texas Tech game really isn't that bad.
No, not at all. But here we are, just hitting midnight Central Time in Lubbock, Texas. We are, what, an hour and a half post-final whistle?
Yep.
You did not preserve the shutout there in the fourth quarter. You ended up losing it with a field goal there. Was it midway through the fourth quarter?
No, it was about a little over five minutes left, because I think they started that drive.
It was like
just a few minutes into the fourth quarter. I think it was over a seven-minute drive to get that field goal.
Yes, it was. Let's just quickly run through some of your game stats here. On the night, Texas Tech put up 424 total yards, 264 through the air, 160 on the ground. You were 8 of 14 on fourth down, and you committed 4 penalties for 50 yards.
I think you said fourth down. You meant third.
I meant 8 for 14 on third down. You're right. You ran 78 total plays, so was that 17 fewer plays than last week?
Yeah, I think it was in the 95, I believe. You're exactly right.
Yeah, I think you ran 95 plays, and you had 150 extra yards. So you were pretty close to on pace with that, had you run 95 total plays. So when you look at the total yards, you see 424, realize that on 78 plays instead of 95 from last week, and you were at almost 5.5 yards per play. You finished time of possession just under 27 minutes, so there was a six-minute disparity there between you and UTEP. Defense, though, I think is the story of the game, right, where you had a shutout going for 55 minutes of the game. You give up a field goal there late in the fourth quarter. Until then, they had played really well. Your first half, I think you held UTEP to something like 50 total yards.
And right. First half, it was actually 53.
53 yards.
UTEP had 21 passing yards and 32 rushing yards to end the first half.
And then Kyle Oxley comes in after halftime. Their offense, I'm going to say, comes alive. They finished the day with 131 yards. So he sparked the offense for 80 yards in the second half.
Yeah,
he really did. 50 in the first half. But like I said, defense is the story here. You held them to 131 total yards, 54 through the air, 77 on the ground. At one point, I mean, this was well into the game, their per rush average gain, sorry, yards per rush for them was well under one. There were a couple drives there. It was like 0.1, 0.2 yards per rush.
Yeah. A tenth of a yard.
Every time they ran the ball. Yeah.
3.6 inches.
Something like that.
That sounds reasonable.
They ran 57 total plays. So you held them to 2.3 yards per play.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, the defense was really the story of this game. I'm sure we'll get into the offense a little bit more later, but you know, Jordan Brooks led the charge once again, 11 tackles, 6 solo, 1.5 tackles for loss, and I think those were tallied pretty early on in the game. Rico Jeffers behind him with 4 tackles, Rambo with 4, Xavier Benson with 4. I mean, you had guys really contributing, especially at the linebacker and Raider positions, which is what you expect. But for a team that had a running back who single-handedly ran, I believe it was 120 or 130 yards last game, you stifled almost their entire offense for that many yardage this game. Wow.
Yeah,
that many yards.
So they had 2 running backs both hit 27 total yards. Josh Fields and Trayvon Hughes. Josh Fields did that on 14 carries, so it's good for just under 2 yards per carry. Trayvon Hughes did it on 10 carries. Kyle Oxley also carried the ball 9 times, or quarterback for the second half, for 21 yards. And there's the majority of your 77 yards, those 3 players. They were 7 of 19 through the air combined between Brandon Jones and Kyle Oxley. Like we said, 54 total yards, 0 touchdowns, obviously, 0 interceptions. Although, all right, I want to go there first.
Okay, where are we going?
There were 2 plays that were negated by a defensive offsides on Texas Tech. So Texas Tech had a defensive offsides called against Texas Tech. One took away a pick 6.
Yeah.
Which is, it's whatever. What bothered me was that both times the flag for that wasn't thrown till well after the snap. Like, the play had gone on for a second, 2 seconds, however long, and then the flag comes out. On that pick 6 specifically, that flag didn't come out until after the ball had been caught.
Yeah,
and
he was
going the other direction.
He was fully headed north.
Yeah.
And then the flag came out. I'm not sure if the ref had trouble grabbing the flag, if he had it way too far down in his pants where he couldn't quite pull it out or what.
He was struggling.
Yeah, he was having some issues.
Because here's the thing, like, that's a pre-snap infraction, right?
Sure, yeah.
Like, the referee on the line can see that before they snap the ball. If the dude's offside to the snap, you throw the flag then.
Yeah.
Not like, well, let's see what happens.
And that's when UTEP usually...
interception? Okay, let's throw the flag.
Yeah, usually that flag gets thrown 20 feet in the air. UTEP's quarterback, in this case, would see it and think, okay, free play.
Kinda take
like
a shot, right.
Like Mahomes would do and just try to make something happen and know that whatever happened was going to have no consequences. But that one was kind of a very slow roll. Poker with somebody, and someone really slow rolls you, and it.
I don't understand why it didn't come out much sooner.
Sure, sure.
Anyways,
especially in that instance.
So those were 2 of your 4 penalties. The other 2 were defensive pass interference. All 4 of your penalties were on the defense this evening.
Yeah. 2 of them were.
Were offsides.
Well, and if they weren't back-to-back, they were very close to back-to-back in UTEP.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Epps' opening drive of the second half, but somehow Tech still held him. I think that was where the – was that the field goal attempt that missed? Or did they end up getting rid of the ball before that? I'm having trouble remembering for sure. But the start of the third.
The field goal was in the third quarter. Field goal attempt was in the third quarter.
Yeah, and he missed it. He missed it wide left. So that was the drive that was solely kept alive because of a couple of penalties. And Tech was still ultimately able to get the stop.
So looking at drives for UTEP, again, back to the defense, you held them to seven three and outs on the night. On 12 drives, seven of those ended in just three plays. Average field position was on their 23. The longest drive of the evening was the one they scored the field goal on. 12 plays for 48 yards. The other ones, 3, 3, 3, 9, 3, 3, 6, 3, 5, 6, 3.
Yeah.
So if you didn't get like a three and out, it was the very next set of downs where they would end up punting.
Yeah. They
except for the one – the two times that they attempted a field goal. They had 9 plays and then 12 plays.
Tech forced 7 punts in a row to start the game. And then that field goal attempt that we just mentioned, that was aided by a couple of penalties. 2 more punts, then a field goal, then another punt. So it was a great performance by the defense. Nothing that I thought the running game would be a little bit more of an issue as far as UTEP being able to move the ball.
Oh, but they wanted to throw the ball, Michael. Remember?
Right. they threw it. They threw it more this game than what we probably thought they would. But I mean, they only threw it 19 times ultimately. Right. I mean, so there were several plays where passes were thrown out of bounds and everything, but they were not able to get that running game going at all. The big guys up front made sure of that. Of course, with Jordan Brooks on the prowl, he was making sure that that wasn't going to happen either.
And not that Texas Tech was very successful running the ball either.
No.
You were missing 2 starters on the offensive line tonight. Terrence Steele and Jack Anderson did not dress. They did not play. But you ran the ball 31 times for 160 yards. So you averaged greater than 5 yards a carry. That's respectable. But after running for 250 last week, and that was kind of your goal for this week, was another 200-yard game, hitting 160 was, I would say, a little disappointing. You did have, 8 guys carry the ball tonight?
Yeah.
Armand Shine, Sir Roderick Thompson, Tajon Henry were the guys that carried the most. Shine and Thompson both carried it 8 times. Tajon Henry carried it 7. So there's another evening where it was super balanced. And even when you look at Armand Shine and Sir Roderick Thompson, they both carried the ball 8 times, both finished the night with 45 yards. So they had the exact same carries, exact same yards. Shine had a touchdown. They both averaged, obviously, 5.6 yards per carry. Henry was not as successful. He carried the ball 7 times for 28 yards and a touchdown.
Well, you were able to move the ball in the second half a lot better than the first. The second half, you only had 68 rushing yards. I should have kept up with how many attempts you had, but I didn't. Your yards per rush were 4.3, and you finished the game with 5.2. So you had an uptick, obviously, of almost 100 yards in the second half, which is more like what you're saying. You were leaning towards 200 is kind of where you expected to be against this team, and they were able to find a way to make it happen in the second half. I think we'd feel a little bit better about this if they were able to get that running game going more in the first half.
Right. So let's look at the passing game. TJ Vasher is your leading receiver both for receptions and yards. 6 catches, 78 yards, 2 touchdowns, long of 30 on that that one long ball that Bowman was able to connect on.
Yeah.
Into the end zone. He had a longer pass play to Dalton Rigdon, but that was one where he broke at the line of scrimmage and took off running. Next up with Tajon Henry, 5 catches, 32 yards. Dalton Rigdon, 4 catches, RJ Turner, 4 catches. Dante Thompson, 3 catches. Mannix and Thompson both had 2 catches. And then you had 5 guys with 1. Xavier White, Keyshawn Carter, Myler Royals. I guess he came in real late. Caden Leggett and Armand Shine. Eric Ezukama finishes the night, 0 catches on 4 targets.
I wanted to see more from Vasher, and we got that tonight. I think he still led the last game with receptions. Is that right?
I don't remember.
But he didn't get in the end zone last game. He did this game. One of them on a really big effort play to stretch the ball across the goal line, and then or just continue the play.
Do this music.
And then the other there's a breathy sax going on. But then the other play was obviously that perfectly thrown dime by Bowman, who would be the first to tell you, and he was in the press conference, that his deep ball needed some work. He actually said that he was upset with himself, and he missed a lot of downfield throws, and he knows that that's going to be an emphasis next week. I agree. I don't want to beat up on the kid by any means, but that was and I'm not putting it all on him. It was a disappointing aspect of tonight's game. I think a lot of us came in, myself included. I had the brilliant idea to predict a 63-13 score on the countdown to kickoff show with Rob Bro and Carson Robinson today, and we all picked something in the 50s at the least. Tech obviously did not even get close to that. I'm not saying that this is unsuccessful outing, because a win is a win, but it does worry me a little bit. Back to back 3 and outs in the first quarter was not something that I expected to see.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of stops here and there. Tech actually went for it on 4th down to convert, and they ended up scoring on that drive, which is great. But it came down to a 4th down conversion at about the 35. So the offense, I felt, looked a lot better last week against what most would consider a superior opponent. So mm-hmm. I'm really not sure what to look into that, aside from things are going to be touch and go here and there.
Yeah, so I think across the board, obviously, outside of the counter to kickoff show, expected a wider margin.
More
points than 38.
A blowout, basically.
You did cover.
Sure. Barely.
I mean, you won by 35. I don't know if we're venturing into the let's be worried yet, but they're now through 2 weeks. You've left the game being like, we probably left some points on the field. We didn't play as well as we could have. We this game could have been not as close. And it doesn't help when you start looking around the conference, especially at Kansas State. They played a team very similar in competition to UTEP. They played I'm blanking on who they played today.
Bowling Green.
They played Bowling Green, who's like I think ranked 120th in all the FBS, and UTEP was 129. They beat them 52-0.
Yeah, no question.
So you were, I mean, 2 touchdowns off basically from matching that. But it just the difference between that 38 and 52, it just feels a lot larger than 2 scores.
Yes.
Well,
and part of it was, what did you mention to me on the way? They had over 100. Or 200 rushing yards in the second quarter or something crazy like that?
I think 4 or 5 minutes into the second quarter, they were at 250 rushing yards. And they finished the game. So they went 2 quarters and then a half of a quarter and only picked up 100 more yards.
Yeah. Well, they scored 21 points in the second quarter. Mm-hmm. They had 17 in the first.
And then scored 7 in the third, 7 in the fourth.
They had as many points as Tech did in the first half. And then it looks like they let off the gas, scored a touchdown apiece in the third and fourth, like you said. I don't want to look too much into Kansas State just yet, but...
Well, no, but what we can look at is Arizona.
Yes.
And we checked the score on the drive over here. At half, it was 51-13 over Northern Arizona. So they're playing an FCS opponent.
Currently 51-20 in the third.
But they put up 51 points in a half.
Right.
And you have yet to put up 51 points in a game.
And I think that's going to be, even if our defense continues to play as well as they have, the competition's going to get better. There's going to be a lot more holes and gaps in this defense that obviously were not an issue against these first two opponents. They're going to be exposed against the likes of a Kansas State or an Oklahoma State or any, you know, take your pick over the next 10 games.
Yeah, and I'm not sure where you draw the line between do we have enough to know kind of what we can expect this season or when is that going to be? But maybe those comments from David Yost when he said our quarterbacks make a big jump from year one to year two, like generally the offense is going to be a lot better in year two, and we're seeing what that means. You know, 40, like it seems weird to complain about 45 and 38 points, right, in back-to-back games.
Yeah, it does.
But both games had extended periods of time when you felt like the offense wasn't moving very well. The quarterback wasn't in sync with the receivers or anything like that. So it looks like, at least early on through week two, like we're 1/6 of the season through. Defense is way ahead of the offense. Because it's performed on par or better than you would have expected, having given up 13 points in the season.
Right.
So maybe like we're starting to see, or we can start to expect that the offense won't be what we were used to. That Yost, his offense is going to be just a little bit more subdued in points. We're not going to be getting into shootouts like we were. But again, I don't know when to make that call, and at one point we can say, oh, this is for sure what we're going to have.
Yeah, it's a repetitive theme. We'll know more next week. But even then, depending on who you talk to or depending on what people think or say, Arizona's not that great of a team. So they're either great or they're not. Even if we win, okay, we should have. Even if we don't, well, that's because we're terrible. It's going to be hard to really analyze this.
After Arizona, you get Oklahoma. You're like, well, we were picked to lose to Arizona.
Yeah.
But at that point, we're four games in. Like, well, should we know what we should expect at that point?
Well, and I think part of the reason we're frustrated is, it's because both of these games, the lulls that have been discussed, seem to have come right after a methodical, like, 7-play touchdown drive. Maybe not even that. I mean, they were clicking.
Your first drive of the game, let me pull that up really quickly.
Yeah, it was, I've got it. It was nine plays.
9 plays, 50 yards, 2 minutes, 17 seconds.
Right.
And then your next two drives, 3 plays, minus 3 yards, punt, 6 yards, 6 plays, 16 yards, punt. And then you get a 10-play, 77-yard touchdown drive. 11-play, 52-yard drive that ends in an interception. So Bowman's first interception of the season.
Right. Which was a really underthrown ball. Not something that...
It was so strange.
Not something you used to see him doing. We talked about it while we were watching it. Maybe he meant to throw it away but didn't quite get it out far enough. Couldn't tell for sure.
Yeah. So, Michael, thoughts on this before we go to our questions, or what do you leave the game feeling, thinking, contemplating, worried about?
I feel a little bit underwhelmed.
Okay.
I was hoping to crack 50 and get into 60. That may not mean a thing. In 6 weeks from now, we may not care one bit that Tech, quote unquote, only handled UTEP 38-3.
And maybe we score between 38 and 45 points every week.
Yeah, and that would be a heck of an average.
Yeah, regardless of opponent.
That would be incredible. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm not super impressed with how everything went tonight, but I mean, the guys almost had a shutout with 5 minutes left.
Which is hard to complain about.
We don't see those. Feel like,
yeah, and I'm going to blame Rob Bro for jinxing it because he sent the tweet out. During that last drive when UTEP scored.
Oh, he totally did.
The last time Tech had shut an FBS opponent was 2005 versus Baylor. And then UTEP finishes off that drive with a field goal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would agree with you that I'm also a little underwhelmed on the offensive output side.
I'm kind of on guard, if that makes any sense. Kind of, you know, we've talked about it. I came into this season thinking maybe 5 wins. You know, I was thinking 5-7 season. That's kind of where my head was. And so I'm kind of still on guard, thinking that that's still maybe where we are.
I'm interested to see how this weekend's games change those statistical models. Like, after week one, you saw a pretty solid shift in the projection for Texas Tech to go to 7-5. I'm interested to see if there's another shift.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get to some reaction here. Chris underscore Hill 85. How does Houston Baptist throw for more than 300 and we only throw for 260? Good question.
I have no idea.
One, I don't know what Houston Baptist was doing. I do know that they were a Kingsbury coaching tree because you've got Kitley's son is on the offensive staff. He may be the offensive coordinator. He was a GA here.
Wes Kitley's son,
Zach Kitley. So it's very similar to what Texas Tech was running under Kingsbury. Maybe they're just their offense was not geared towards balance. I haven't looked at their rushing numbers. But yeah, you would think Texas Tech would be able to throw for more than 260 yards.
Yeah,
against one of the worst teams in all of the FBS.
Yeah, regardless of what Houston Baptist was able to do, to come away with 264 passing yards as a Tech team seemed a little off.
On the flip side, Cody Shannon says, do you think Tech fans have been too spoiled by the fast-paced air raid offenses of the past? So now that we are way more balanced, methodical offense, everyone's immediate reaction is to freak out like the boat is sinking. I mean, that's a good point because we're not sure where the offensive output falls. If it's we're just being more methodical on it, that's why the points are down, or if it's just a combination of that and Alan Bowman in a new offensive system, Yost play calling once we get a lead. I'm not sure. But yeah,
Use the clock a little bit more, but Wells brought up a good point. I think their longest scoring drive was 3.5 minutes tonight. That wasn't I don't think that was something that they, you know, hang on to the ball. That was it. The longest scoring drive was exactly
regardless of outcome, the longest time that Texas Tech held the ball was 3 minutes and 36 seconds.
And that was the interception.
Mm-hmm.
So they had the ball. These were short drives. You know, UTEP, we spoke of it earlier, the field goal, their drive was 7 minutes and 19 seconds. They had a 4-minute drive here that ended in a field goal attempt.
The rest of them were so short on plays because of they were punts that they didn't have a lot of time of possession outside of those two drives.
So they don't hog the clock quite as much. But, yeah, I mean, and that's kind of something we're trying to wrestle with, or I am at least, is to figure out if the boat's sinking or not just because we're not scoring as many points as we think we should be.
Yeah. Cody goes on to say, also, I get that Wells and Yost run a spread offense, but it's more like a hybrid spread. CSU's...
Because...
But it's more like a hybrid spread CSU's did the tight end run game and not as chaotic as air raid can be sometimes. They seem to like to use up the clock. I mean, I wouldn't say they like to use up the clock.
Yeah.
Because of what we just said about the longest drive of the evening, regardless of outcome, was 3 minutes.
And I think you're right. It is more, it's not as chaotic as the air raid can be. I think that's a great point.
Which is interesting because you're talking about a team that goes faster than what we've seen before. be in more control than teams past.
Right. They're more in control. That's exactly it. And a lot of the formations are the same. It's very similar to, and I know this has been pointed out by several people, but it's very similar to Leach's version of the air raid, which was a lot of similar plays, similar looks, different formations, guys running different routes from the same formation. I mean, you know, just kind of some tweaks and not as big of a playbook. And that's something that the offensive guys have mentioned this whole offseason, is just there are a lot less plays under Yost's system than there were under Kingsbury's.
Yeah, so let's wrap this up and get on to our preview for next week. Texas Tech wins tonight 38-3. Handily, this game was never in question. The one thing I guess could make you a little anxious after a defensive performance like this is that you have yet to force a turnover.
Oh, that's true.
In two games, you did have that pick six erased from a offsides call, which was sketchy at best.
Right, and you ended the night with only three sacks, and I think one of them was last few minutes of the game.
One was the first play. Sorry, in the first drive, the other two came on the same drive. That UTEP ended up scoring the field goal on.
Oh, okay, you're right.
The sacks pushed them back and made for it.
That's right. One of them was a 14 or 16 yard loss.
Yeah,
I remember now.
So, any parting thoughts before we sign off for the evening?
No, but I am. Before we hit record, we started talking about the Arizona game. You know, the fact that they were able to put 51 points against anybody in a first half is worrisome to say the least. So, we'll see how this game goes this week, and I'm excited for Tech to get their first taste of a road game. They haven't been on the road yet this year.
Mm-mm.
And to see how they do against a Power 5 opponent and how they can try to stifle Khalil Tate and his ability to move on his feet.
So yeah, for Michael, I'm Spencer. Thanks for listening to a post-game instant reaction podcast for the 23 Personnel Podcast. We will catch you on Wednesday in our preview episode for the road game to Arizona. Until then, we'll see you later.